So welcome, Will Sharp, to the Picture House podcast. So lots of people will know you as writer and actor of Flowers and the wonderful Rodney in Giri Haji, but today you are here as director and writer of The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne. Can you tell us about your Louis Wayne journey and why you wanted to tell his story?
So I was sent this project by Sonny March, Benedict Cumberbatch's company, and I think probably like many people, my first sort of encounter with seeing Louis Wayne's pictures was that they felt in some way familiar to me. I kind of recognized the images, but I didn't know him by name, and I certainly didn't know anything about his life story. I felt an immediate fascination with the fact that, I suppose, on the surface of it, you had these very charming, silly tableaus of anthropomorphized cats playing snooker, badminton, and gambling in pubs. But then underneath it, occasionally you'd see a little inscription or a detail that betrayed underlying anxiety or a vulnerability, a fragility, I suppose, of some kind. And he's probably best known in the art world for his psychedelic pictures, they're so-called kaleidoscopic cat pictures, where it's a more abstract, almost kind of fractal pattern. And if you squint your eyes, you start to see a sort of cat face within it. And so all of that led me to want to read more and more about him and his life. And I just found his life to be a remarkable story. And also I found him just a really inspiring figure. I thought he led a very heroic life, and I really admired him for his resilience and his courage. And, you know, I think it's fair to say he didn't always lead a particularly easy life. And whether it was with events that happened in his personal life or his struggles with mental illness or even just living through difficult times, which I think is something, you know, we can all relate to at the moment, I just really, I guess, fell in love with him and really wanted to tell his story.
I almost wanted to ask you, when did you first fall in love with Louis Wayne? Because it did feel like a love letter. It was beautiful. And each frame, I thought, was so beautiful. And the cinematography, the attention to detail. Can you tell me a bit about your painstaking process of bringing this film to life and also some of your influences?
The biggest influence for this film was definitely Louis Wayne himself. And, you know, with Eric Wilson, the DP, Susie Davies, the designer, Michael O'Connor, the costume designer, we all together wanted to, we sort of called it Wayne's World as a kind of shorthand, wanted to bring that to life. And so whether that be, you know, in the choice of the Academy ratio to give it a slightly fairy tale quality, and it seemed to suit some of the group blocking portraiture that we were favoring in the shot style. And I also think that ratio works really well for close-ups, because you sort of not much negative space, and in those very intimate scenes with Benedict and Claire, it's all about the performance and the nuances of the performance. And also in the use of color and pattern, you know, Louis Wayne was someone who, as a kid, he grew up, his mother and father worked in fabrics and textiles, so he was surrounded by colors and patterns, and you can really see that in his work, I think. And we wanted to celebrate and enjoy that as much as he seemed to in his work. And, you know, down to even just little things in the costume to sort of help the storytelling. Governesses, Emily, the character that Claire Foy plays, was a governess to Louis Wayne's younger sisters, and traditionally governesses are portrayed as wearing either black or blue, and so we tried to use the color blue as a way of, you know, helping to carry alongside, you know, Claire's outstanding performance, the character of Emily through the story with Louis. So there are points in the film where we use the color blue as a kind of pointer to help you get under the skin of how Louis's feeling psychologically in that moment. And the other big part of the, you know, alongside the hair and makeup, of course, led by Vicky Lang, big part of the storytelling and the world building, I think, is the use of the score. And I was really interested in reading about Louis Wayne. He seemed like someone who was really hungry to understand the world and to try and work out what it ran on or how it worked. And he had these theories about electricity, and that the key to understanding all of life was in this electricity that he sometimes felt like he could sense in the air. And so that, again, you know, is a big part of the thematic and narrative sort of structure of the movie. And I think particularly with the score, we wanted to give a sense of that feeling and to be able to kind of zone in on where he's at, when he's sort of opening out, when he's thinking back to his time with Emily. So yeah, it was, like with all projects, a hugely collaborative process where you start very broad and then gradually you zone in on your house style. But I have to say the biggest influence by far is Louis Wayne himself.
Yes, and I definitely felt that. And I everything that you're saying makes sense to the layering of the film. And was it a pheromone that was used in the score?
Yeah, so Arthur wanted to find ways of kind of bringing that electricity to life, but without leaning on sort of synthesizers and sort of favoring more, I guess, vintage organic feeling instrument. So the theremin plays a leading role in carrying the electricity theme. There's also a musical saw in there, and, you know, alongside the sort of motley ensemble, and there are, you know, more playful themes where there's even a sort of barbershop meow quartet. I really wanted to try to understand Louis Wayne and to try and imagine, you know, with Benedict, like, what must it have felt like to be this person and to have that mind and to live through the eras that he lived through. And so all of these tools, I suppose, are hopefully being used to help the audience, you know, to let them in on a little bit of that, you know, as much as we can.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was so many things. It was very, very funny, beautifully written script, but it was in part such a beautiful meditation on the ponderance of life in terms of suffering and grief. And what does that all mean? Why is it happening? And how do we make sense of that? And he was tantalizingly onto something with his electricity, you know, all the memories. The electricity makes the memories and the electricity makes the future. What are your thoughts on this? Because for me, it felt that he was actually trying to describe God or love.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose I really wanted this film to feel like a life and to feel like you were on the journey of his life with him. And I guess sometimes with biopics, you can feel how a life has been in some way mangled or exploited in service of a movie. But we'll loved Louis Wayne and wanted the movie to work in service of his life. And so that was a big part of the decision making, I think, in the telling of it, was how do we make this feel as much as possible like you're living it with him. And I also, I guess personally, I found that my appreciation of him as a human being and of his story was cumulative. And so the more that I went on the journey with him, the more I read about him, the deeper I felt like I understood him and the more I loved him. And so I wanted to share that experience with the audience in some way. But yeah, I definitely felt like you say, he's trying, I think in some way, like conversations around our own psychology and around mental illness have progressed. And I think we all now have an overall slightly better understanding of how our minds work. But I think I really felt like he was trying to work out, why does it feel so difficult at some times and so extraordinarily beautiful at other times? And so, like you say, we were trying to find some kind of answer, and to tie it up with, you know, the theme, as you say, of him trying to overcome his grief. And the other thing to say, I think, is that I found his story ultimately to be very uplifting and very inspiring. And so I think, like, we came to think of grief as a form of love, I suppose, that it sort of, it only hurts because there's something to miss, if that makes sense. And I guess a big part of it is how Emily and Louis together, I think, help each other to appreciate the good stuff in the world and how it can be a beautiful place. But the really difficult thing is to then be able to appreciate that when you're on your own. That's kind of his journey, really. And I think, you know, Claire and Benedict, their chemistry was so sort of instant and so beautiful and real that I think that that's kind of where the heart of the movie sits. Is, and actually we shot those scenes not entirely by design, but we shot them at the beginning. And so it was interesting how we had sort of established these memories for ourselves, carry through the shooting of the rest of the movie and to sort of carry Claire in a way all the way to the end of the shoot. So I think that's a a really lovely observation that you've made.
Thank you. And I wrote down as I was watching the film, cats are ridiculous. And I love that you repeated the end of the film, because I think that is just the wonderful connection in a way with life, that it is so traumatic and ridiculous. And we can, you know, look at cats or animals and anthropomorphize our own terror, grief, whatever, through them, you know. So let me talk about your wonderful cast very quickly. We've only got a few minutes left. Like you say, your two leads were extraordinary, but did you literally write a wish list of your supporting cast, and did that come true?
I suppose so. I mean, I just felt extraordinarily lucky and a little bit freaked out, to be honest, by having the opportunity to work with so many incredible people. But yeah, particularly with the Wayne family, I felt like that was something that felt a big part of Louis's life, you know, being the only man in a household full of women. And at a time when by default that meant he was supposed to be the breadwinner, but he wasn't really, he was by far in a way the least qualified to do that. And, you know, in particularly like the resultant frustration of his sister Caroline, for example, who's played by Andrea Riseborough. And so I guess there is a sort of undercurrent of how unfortunate the gender politics of the time were in terms of his particular life and his story, I suppose.
You did that so well, because the voice, giving voice to the voiceless like that with really strong actresses was a very powerful casting choice, I thought.
Thank you. I love how emotional Andrea is in it, because I think sometimes in period films, I think it's fair to say, like, particularly female characters can be quite presented in quite a prim way. And it's all about the sort of suppression of emotion and the presentation of something very kind of neat and tidy and proper. But they were still human beings. And I just love, like, that, you know, there's rage, there's frustration, there's love, there's everything in there. And I find that at times funny and other times exciting, you know.
Yes. And in the Wikipedia thing, it just says he had five sisters that never married. End of conversation. You know, and you gave these five sisters that never married a whole life, which of course they have. So just to finish up, are you a fan of cats? And did Peter behave himself?
We had, you know, the kitten Peter, who actually the producer has adopted, called Norbs. He was just completely innocent and a delight, really instinctive. And just behaved exactly like a kitten behaves and didn't know any bad, didn't realize it was being filmed or anything. The grown-up Peter called Felix, absolute professional, very well behaved, but he was still a cat. And, you know, I decided early on that I didn't want to use CG because I thought this was a human story about human beings and I want the cats to be cats. Didn't want it to feel like a fantasy film or a kid's film. And that, the result of that is that I think the cat presence in the movie does feel quite catty, and there's some really magic, you know, there's some real magic that came out of that process, but it did also require quite a lot of patience on our part, quite a lot of the time.
I can imagine. It's the sort of thing where you think, it's just a quick shot. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Exactly.
Oh, and also just quickly, how delighted was Nick Cave to be asked to be H.G. Wells?
Well, probably not as delighted as I was that he wanted to do it. But yeah, he's a massive fan of Louis Wayne. And he came to watch the movie recently, actually, and he seemed to really enjoy it. So yeah, again, just unbelievably grateful to him for making the time.
Thank you so much, Will Sharp, for joining us today on the Pitch Hour podcast. Really good luck with this amazing film. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
And you. Bye-bye.